From her crumbling bunker, a post-apocalyptic librarian explores the wasteland, recovers books, and keeps the flame of knowledge alive.
An eccentric traveler with tales slightly more than believable wanders the wilds in search of fine beers, good company, and strange artifacts.
A wheeling-dealing maverick, not averse to a new scheme or hustle, keeps an eye out for the next wealthy dupe or pursuing lawman.
They find themselves together, traveling the long roads of Texas, meeting steampunk luminaries, and stumbling across outrageous fortune.
Tonight, they report back to you, through strange telegraph technology, on the latest happenings, interesting trivia of our steampunk world in the great state of Texas.
Join us now for the Texas Steampunk Connection.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Texas Steampunk Connection Tuesday night. We are now episode 6 of the new season. It is already middle of March.
Yes.
Going on, heading toward Galveston Steampunk Festival faster than I would feel comfortable with.
Same. It's racing up.
I'm still in January. I don't know where the rest of the what happened.
I'm still in March of last year.
February just came and went. I know that.
Yeah. February, of course, February is universally short. It just felt like it was first week of February and then the 29th. Just like,
yeah. It was leap year. So you got an extra.
I was going to say, we got an extra day. And it didn't matter.
No, it was even a long February.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the weather
time
here
flies faster the older you get. Yeah, the weather's been, it was chilly a couple of days last week, but for us, but you know, it's been really beautiful.
Yeah, we're getting chilly mornings and very comfortable afternoons, and it's been, I'm jinxing it as I say it, but it's been lovely.
Yeah. I think it was Thursday and Friday that it was really kind of cold and rainy here. It was like in the 40s or 50s, but no, we've come out of it and it's really, really beautiful now. So spring is sprung.
Yeah, the first day of spring was just like yesterday.
Today.
Or something?
Today. I think it's today.
What, spring?
Yeah.
It's Texas. It's cold again this weekend.
I don't know when spring starts, but I know what St. Patrick's Day was. It was this Sunday, and it was fantastic.
Do you remember most of it? I remember starting it. I woke up in bed, so it was a good one.
That one's never really been on my roster to celebrate, so I played Warcraft that day.
I read a funny comic book or a comic on, it was a joke on Facebook. Someone says, so how'd it go? I finally confessed to my family that St. Patrick isn't real, and I was the one putting snakes under everyone's pillows every night. Just like,
Snakes in the bed.
And I had to go look that one up because I had forgotten exactly.
What the St. Patrick snakes thing?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I promptly forgot again. My brain
the
this week.
The information you don't really need.
Yep. Just like, got to replace it with ways to install Windows on a broken hard drive.
I should bring my computer for you to fix because it's got problems.
Okay.
My gaming computer.
Oh, no.
I keep getting the blue screen to death. So.
Well.
Yeah. And I reset it to factory settings. I was so proud of myself. I'm like, I fixed it. And then like a week later, it did it again. So, yeah.
It might be hardware, depending on what the error code is on the blue screen. So on the next time it blue screens, there should be like a 0x00 and then a whole lot of numbers thing. Just type that in. Like, take a picture of your phone. Send it to me. And I'll look it up for you.
Well, it does the scan and it tells me that it's not a hardware issue. So I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully anyway. It might be a Windows issue, and that might be.
We'll talk later. This is not interesting. Sorry. No.
Okay, moving on.
Dante Fay, who is
Dante Fay? Yes, that is my friend Dante.
Oh,
hi Dante.
Dante
also has a podcast, Two Old Guys in a Garage.
Really?
Yes.
Is it like this? They just talk about whatever. Brilliant.
Yep. Yeah, I think my husband watches it. Yep. All right. Well, should we move on to the booze?
Yes. What are we drinking? I got something fun too.
I got something new. It's not terribly exciting, but it's
it'll be a good night.
Margarita in a can. Cayman Jack margarita.
Heck yeah.
Those things it was
weirdly
this.
Good.
I know, it's actually really good. There's also watermelon flavor, I think strawberry, and then mango or something else. But yeah, it's good. It's cheap.
You're like,
it's
like this is not, I wouldn't alcohol. Expect, if you don't go in thinking it's a frozen margarita, you're not going to be disappointed by what's in the can. It's like it's margarita flavored.
It's not bad. So excited to branch out something new. All right, Jack, we got to save that because weird beer.
I actually picked up something from Real Ale because they're always pretty decent. And it is the Black Quad, the Quad Bowl.
What is it?
It is a very dark beer.
Oh, God. Okay.
Even like the symbol, it's like an acorn in a gear. It's not actually an acorn. It's something else. But yeah.
It's a hop. There's a gear on it.
It's a hop. Hops in a gear. How much more steampunk in Texas can you get?
Steam-powered beer.
All right. So this thing is, straight from the Hill Country, obviously.
Oh, there you go.
So, information on what it is outside of just freaking high in alcohol content.
Black beer.
Unpasteurized. I'm not totally sure why we'd need to know that, but yay, you know what? That's cool. 10.9 alcohol. 0.5? Yeah, 10.5. Wow.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, it's so good.
Oh, you've had it before?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I'm pretty sure I've had this before, too. It's probably one of those nights I don't remember and didn't wake up in bed. But let's see here. That is really thick. If cake was a beer, this would be a pound cake.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Mm. But it's really good. You just, oh yeah. No, it's kind of, all right. So you know how liquid is liquid technically. This is like, it's liquid, but it doesn't like absorb right in. It's like it's in a plastic bag that hits your mouth and it falls apart.
You're not making it sound appetizing, I gotta say. I don't really understand how liquid is not a liquid technique.
So you know when a raindrop hits a windshield and sometimes you can tell when it's when it hits a part of the windshield that's got something on it where that it's hydrophobic and it just keeps
rolling.
You got
the hydrophobia?
Yeah. Well, it's like this is hydrophobic until it hits like the back of your tongue and then it like breaks. It's good. It's just thick.
Okay.
Highly recommended.
You're making it sound so intriguing. I'm going to have to try it. If I could find it up here.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You know what, Thax?
Hey. Something I've not tried before. From Clown Shoes, this is Royal Standard Wee Heavy Ale. Oh. It's got a picture of a wild
redhead. That is
redhead.
The most righteous can I have seen in a long time.
There's a lot going on.
It looks like that needs to be an icon for what was that? Power Thirst, the joking energy drink that one guy came up with on the internet and made a really funny, stupid comic script for.
Nope.
So I've never had.
See, Jack,
a
you didn't do the
before.
Fancy pour.
Ooh, I don't. It's a bottle. It comes with a fancy opening. I'll pour it fancily in my mouth. There. Happy? Would you ask for?
Not at all. Get? No, I'm not happy at all.
So this is listed as an 8%, so it's going to be pretty heavy. But it's not a stout. It's not like dark and thick like Jack's.
Like the oil that Jack is drinking?
Well, we are talking about petrol and diesel. And, you know, unrefined oil is a very interesting. Sometimes it comes out in, just like baking oil. It's clear. You can see right through it. It's crystal. You can pour it right into your engine. It's fine, straight from the ground. Other places, like the wingy bit of West Texas, it comes out in the most putrid, disgusting Vaseline consistency ever.
What are you talking about?
Oil. Straight oil. Like so, like I guarantee you, some of those wells out there are pumping nothing but just putrid Vaseline. That's what it is. It takes so much chemical to make this stuff liquid to get it out of the ground. It is, and it gets in your clothes, and that smell never goes away.
And that's Jack's Vaseline Corner. That's how's your beer?
Jack's Lubricant Corner.
There you go.
It's very nice. It's much lighter than I expected. Given what Lawrence usually drinks, it's like a lager, but you know, 8%. So it's a little more malty, a little sweeter, but not like super heavy. It's nice. I would definitely drink this again if Clown Shoes wasn't such an expensive brand.
Oh. You can almost build a little pump jack on the top of this thing.
Dax, have you had the Rainbow Sherbet beer? Because I ran across it on Total Wine when I was making my order earlier, and I saw it, and I thought, but it said it was a sour, and I don't know if I'd like that.
I've had an orange sherbet sort of beer. I don't recall if it was a sour. I think that doesn't sound particularly familiar.
Okay. I couldn't remember. I mean, I figure if it's a weird beer, then it's probably in Thax's domain, but I couldn't remember.
Thank you.
We all have our specialties.
Something weird to drink when we're in Galveston eating like food on the beach somewhere. Like, this is the thing we're drinking tonight. This is fun. Hey, my friend.
Gonna have to bring your weird beer to the live show.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're allowed in with their weird beer, but I'm assuming we're going to be able to get something at the place that allows us to advertise the beer that they have there. I'm assuming. But let's call Johnny real quick and find out. Just on the spot. Johnny,
can
on the
you
spot.
Have this beer waiting for us?
So since this is a good segue, I wanted to briefly touch on the Friday night bar crawl.
Yeah,
that they're offering as part of the Galveston Steampunk Festival, because that's a separate purchase, separate ticket. And so I asked Johnny, okay, what can we expect? What's included? What are we getting for our admission on Friday night? So he said there you're going to get a branded koozie and a T-shirt, and we're going to get a chance to try some of the locals. Experimental brews.
But they're I got that ticket.
Mad science.
I don't think I'm going to that.
I still need to buy mine, but I'm about to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
as long
I'm
as
actually on the website
available.
Right now looking at it, but we can work on that later. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm fairly certain there are no, they won't run out of seats on the bar crawl.
True. Yeah. True. Yeah, because we plan to be there Friday afternoon, so get there decently.
Yeah, I plan on being there Friday afternoon as well. I have already taken the time off for work. And so there's nothing. Allie's or Lex has changed jobs now. So that shouldn't be a problem either. And I can yerk the kid out of school for, research reasons.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
It's educational.
Yeah. Go to the beach. He's never been to the beach. He's got to put his feet in the water. I know it's going to be utterly icy cold, so he's not going to be able to probably swim.
Yeah, it was last year, but it was still, I'd never really been to the beach before either, before last
year. But my kid's 10, and he's never been to a beach. I'm like,
I was 47, and I'd never been to a beach. Well,
to be fair, my aunt used to live in the area, so, and, that was a thing. So I've been to the beach multiple times in my life as a young person, but, and nearly died like 3 times there, so I'm not really too keen on just immediately taking my kid out of the beach in the middle. So. Okay. Let's just say I like to go out far.
Clearly.
And then I found the funny little like slip streams. Those are not fun. But
alrighty.
That's not the main
do we have a topic
here.
Tonight?
Oh, I was hoping. let's see. So the last episode we talked about boiling down steampunk to its very basics for sort of a steampunk 101, or how to explain to someone what steampunk is. Now we're going in the opposite direction. And I'm hoping tonight is the first of many nights where we explore one of the subgenres that sort of our steampunk umbrella sits over. Tonight we want to talk about diesel punk, more specifically, or petrol punk.
Petrol punk, yeah.
As Jack's wife informed me recently today, that is very similar.
It's fun. I love my wife,
but and I'm sure she'll chime up if I screw this up. But it's more of a Eurocentric, petrol punk is more Eurocentric and more sort of the point of view of defending against the oncoming war, which I guess the Europeans have had experience with in World War I, mm-hmm. versus the American side, where we call diesel punk. And it's generalizations, but it's more about taking our big tanks and going off and getting the thing done.
There's... Yeah. Kind of a big difference between steampunk and diesel punk, and one of them is obviously the time frame.
Yeah, the interwar period.
You move into a point when war was a gentlemanly act during steampunk, because it was still we're moving into the modernization and industrialization for sure,
But World War One was the moment where it was no longer about being gentlemanly in war, but how manly your country was and how much manpower you're willing to lose to prove a point. It goes away from kind of this romantic period of wonder into kind of the modernization of mankind. And I actually found, and well, I didn't dig very hard to find this, but on Wikipedia, I love this quote. Same. I found it a long time ago, but the Scott Westerfield addresses this question and he says, "I like the word diesel punk. If you're going to do something like weird World War II, I think that makes perfect sense. But for me, World War One is the dividing point where modernity, I don't know, goes into modernity. Being, it's almost maternity without that quite, but it goes from being optimistic to being pessimistic, where we were hopeful for the future. And then we see the world we have wrought and it's this, there's no end of it. It's the militarization and military industrial complex kind of takes over, but comes down to where essentially the dividing point is where the words machine and gun become together and they both change the whole meaning of the word, because before machine was different and gun was different. The moment you put them together, it's a whole new ball game.
Yeah.
And at that point, war is no longer about the sense of adventure and chivalry and the way of testing. It's a way of testing your nation's level of manhood. It's become industrial and horrible.
Yeah, so, well, and this was also the period when Churchill created the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yes.
Yeah, when things literally
stamp of approval right there on
during World War II. Yeah, so I mean, but the interwar period, I think diesel punk does work better, because that was you're right, everything changed. Warfare completely changed when it became automated the way that it did. You didn't have to, you weren't up close and face to face with someone when you killed them. You could be, across the no man's land.
The first war in which we were able to kill people faster than any disease was on a battlefield.
And that's why Britain lost so many young men. Just an entire generation of young men were killed or damaged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that you should quote Scott Westerfield, because that was the first author I pulled when I thought, oh, diesel punk.
Yes.
I'll bring up
the Leviathan.
First of a trilogy. Very, very cool book if you like diesel punk or giant mechanical robots.
Yes.
And also some other things that I've never seen developed anywhere else, but in Westerfield's books. I don't know if I should share them, because it's kind of cool and I want you to find out.
I haven't read them in a long time, but yeah, they're excellent. They're really, and they bridge that steampunk to diesel punk kind of
And that's area. Kind of where I want to talk about for just a segment, because the whole petrol punk thing to me seems different, because petrol and gasoline are slightly different, even though they are very close to the same. And one came right before the other because they're a different refinement. One is hydrocarbons and one is, it's not hydrocarbon.
I thought they were the same thing.
Petrol and diesel, correct?
No. There is a slight, they are the same mixture. They're both machine spirits, as the British called it for a little bit before it became aviation spirits, before it got turned into gasoline. But that's in law in the British books of like when they're doing legislation, is it has to be considered machine spirits or aviator spirits or aviation spirits, because back then that's what they called it. To me, petrol, like he says, kind of a European, it's more used in the European the world. That's the word that they tend to use it over there in India as well. But for some other reason, to me, gasoline didn't take off quite the same way right off. They're just a different naming scheme, but one's hydrocarbons and one is made of hydrogen and carbon. So the mixture is slightly different. One is made of two materials, while one is just a ultra refinement of another, until they ultimately became synonymous with the same device, the same object, the same product. So to me, petrol has kind of this very narrow window of like World War One before diesel took off, because gasoline and engines and whatnot were not becoming, because diesel was still superior for a lot of reasons. It was easier to manufacture and it's dirtier, but it's easier to run and everything. Like the reason that a lot of World War II trucks and Jeeps and everything run on diesel is because it burns in nearly everything. You don't have to, as long as you have pressure on the fuel, it'll do combustion. you can put fires out with it nearly as long as there's no pressure with it either. So it's very safe. Gasoline is not.
Don't older cars like some Volvos, they're diesel?
I think
and
so.
Some of the older European cars, like Volvos, I'm pretty sure. And then I think some BMWs and Mercedes.
Because they were diesel, it was a safe fuel. And it's very readable everywhere. And only up until the last couple of years was it fairly consistently priced with the rest of fuel in America for sure. But to me that makes a very distinct moment of before things became more diesel than it was gasoline and petrol. And so I like to make that more of the World War I style thinking. So it kind of micronizes the whole genre even more to a very distinct point in history. Because when I think of diesel punk, I think more of late 1920s, early 30s. I think Indiana Jones. I don't think that's World War I mentality at that point. I think of, look at all the, like, it's clunkier. And then you start getting more.
Yeah, the interwar period. It's that period between World War I and World War II where so much was happening. Like I said, we had the Art Deco movement and all of the straight, you know, all of the very distinct lines. And then the Depression came along. And then, you know, we ended up segueing into World War II. So that interwar period for everything was so much was happening in that very relatively short period of time. And so, the diesel punk that draws on the Art Deco, it's beautiful. I mean, the movies, and you're right about, because I read the wiki too, that they mentioned Indiana Jones, which kind of surprised me a little bit, but not when I thought about it. It seemed,
I think,
you know,
that
made sense.
Too late.
It's mid 30s. It's when Germany was wandering around taking
right,
artifacts
right.
from all over the place.
Yeah.
So the war was coming.
Well, it was late 30s and early 40s. Because we already had the Nazis, and you know, the Nazis were running around all over those movies. But usually what you see. Yeah, that Art Deco period.
I think enjoying Art Deco via the arms industry at that point in time. They made so many pretty guns.
I mean, fair. They did.
So to me, I think more diesel punk is these big, huge lumbering machines gushing out diesel smoke and leaking oil and just
grunging across battlefields.
At a size and a scale that just wasn't possible without that sort of fuel.
Okay, then let me ask you this: Mortal Engines. Do you think do you still think that's steampunk, or would you classify that as
Mortal
diesel
Engines?
Punk?
I would say this.
I think both. Isn't it?
I don't think we need to make a big distinction, and that is where the fight starts.
Let's do it.
I think steampunk is an umbrella term that diesel punk can fall into, and we don't have to feel like we need to make strong distinctions. This is the boundary. That side is diesel punk.
But like you're saying, those big machines that go, you know, just crushing and destroying everything, just spewing out, you know, pollution behind them.
That's like if World War I never ended and it was all about trench warfare and how big a sofa you could push across the battlefield on treads.
Absolutely.
It's just this lumbering dinosaur that's just crunching along at 2 miles an hour, carrying turrets upon turrets upon turrets of guns, being, you know, hit by all sorts of artillery and not stopping. You got yourself what I would call a landship and or juggernaut, which is a very World War I style thinking of something that needed to cross no man's land and that's being shelled and gassed and clouds of dust and debris, and all you hear is this massive mechanized thing, and then suddenly the dust clears for a minute and you just see this massive thing with guns bristling all over it coming right at you. That's a very World War I-esque visual. And that's when airships and blimps were used to take out airplanes, and you don't have that much else later.
So basically really just diesel-powered AT-ATs just walking around.
Yeah, that's essentially, because you wanted to be, the higher up you were, the better gun depression you could get. And the Germans were really big on making big boxy tanks at that point. The Matilda was the Matilda style was there for the British tank, and you had all the little tiny ones the French made. So it was very unique, and everything had a very distinct style to it before World War II came along, which everything still did, but it was a much more refinement of technology at that point.
It wasn't quite identical assembly line at that point. Things were still. Mm-hmm.
You still had very much. It was
individual
not,
creators making things.
Yeah. You get those big wheeled things the Russians tried to make to cross to cross the lines. That looks like something straight out of Star Wars, you know, Attack of the Clones. Massive iron wheels, this tank turret in the middle of it, little tiny pusher wheels. It is utterly ludicrous. It looks like something that a kid drew. But
well, some of Star Wars was on the Dieselpunk list too on the wiki. Yeah, they listed those too in there. And of course, Miyazaki popped up. And the Batman, I thought that was interesting. They listed Tim Burton's Batman, which, I mean, because one thing that I noticed it was they mentioned that again, you know, 20s and 30s, that noir style, that Dieselpunk's got a grittier noir, you know.
Oh, for sure, the cartoon.
Sam Spade running around out there, you know, type of feel. And that is absolutely what that Tim Burton's Batman was.
Yeah.
That was dark Batman. It was still my favorite.
Yeah, he's thinking of other things we commonly call steampunk, but really more easily fit into the Dieselpunk, you know, cubbyhole. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Super.
You have Nemo. That's very, I would call that would be very much but it kind of almost surpasses Dieselpunk because of the technology that's involved still, or at least it's heavily inspired to be nuclear. Yeah. So it's like he was way, it's like Captain Nemo obviously was way ahead of his time. That was the whole point, was that they have this wonderful technology that comes out of nowhere and they're able to solve all these problems.
Max is making faces.
It's an interesting argument. I could come back and say Jules Verne wrote it. Mm-hmm. So he's not exactly Dieselpunk in his time.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't fit the time. It's like you go back and you read a lot of like super heavy, deep sci-fi science fiction from people who've never seen a rocket fly yet.
Yeah.
They're trying to make all these assumptions that end up being closer to realistic than not, but it has that weird kind of displaced feel to it.
Yeah, there's slipover with a lot of that stuff because the retrofuturism and the way they were thinking. Because if you know, when you read H.G. Wells and his machines, I mean, they were definitely bridging that area where they were slipping to one side or the other. It wasn't specifically steam. I mean, and you're because they weren't writing steampunk; they were just writing cool shit. Yeah, and you know, this is what we ended up with. But Jules Verne, actually, I think studied him for a paper I had to write, and I think he actually was a scientist, or at least he was an amateur scientist. Mm-hmm. I think so. He actually
read
was
popular writing science, like most of us. Yeah, who cares,
he was writing from a place of from a somewhat educated place for the time that he was writing in. So
yeah,
but I know he's not for everybody. Some people don't dig on the Jules Verne adventures. So
I remember the TV show on Sci-Fi. That was fun.
Look, he had great ideas. He just wasn't a very good writer.
You know, same with Lovecraft. Lovecraft had great ideas. Terrible writer.
I know how to expressing something that cannot be expressed is difficult. I will give him that. And the fact that he's like, it's unimaginable. I'm like, yeah, it is. I don't know how else I would explain the most terrifying ink blot that has tentacles either. That's just really difficult. Like, there's an aura of danger and scariness that's washing over me. Yep,
I love Lovecraft's writing.
I hate his writing. I like what people have done with the myth, but
I like his writing has a texture. It has an atmosphere that you're sort of floating through. And
he's the man who wrote the first SCP.
Okay.
It makes sense. It fits. It works. I love the story.
I think SCP is a pale, weak little brother to Lovecraft. But I mean, you're right. He's trying to express or to describe indescribable things. And so you're walking away going, I don't know if what I was reading was, did I miss a few pages?
I know. I always feel like that too. I'm like, it's like he couldn't ever get a complete thought down before he moved on to the next. And I don't know if it was deliberate, because it leaves you just sitting there for weeks afterwards, wondering what you read.
Yeah, and it lingers.
Does a decent job of keeping you hooked. So from a writer's perspective, I will say he did that well. If you can read it all the way through, because some of the wording some of his language is rough, just because he doesn't know how to write people well or write like speaking parts well. But he does definitely do the mental the thought process. What's that called? Anyway, train of thought well. And his old school writing, that was his normal modern day writing at that time. When he's like, my dearest loving wife.
Like I like the ideas, but also like his precursor, Robert Chambers, who came up with The King in Yellow, that was, and then kind of influenced a lot of what Lovecraft went on to do. Chambers is bonkers, because the whole idea behind The King in Yellow is that this is a play that makes everybody crazy. And so the story collection, when you're reading about it, they mention like The King in Yellow, but nobody, it's not actually written. It's just, we know that it makes everybody bat. The first season of True Detective actually plays on The King in Yellow a lot. I've seen it, but I veered off. Sorry. Back to Dieselbunk.
It's all right. I got to read that.
We'll have to go back and do a noir. Yes.
You absolutely horror. Need to read it.
Yeah.
Yes, we can do a horror punk. That would be, and then we can go into all of these Chambers and August Derleth and all of the weird horror that was being written in the, yeah. It was new and it was so fascinating and scary. I mean, it was literally stuff you couldn't comprehend, and that's what made it so scary.
And then we're gonna bridge straight over into Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow and how terrible.
Yes, I need to watch that again.
That was.
I love that movie. Shut up. I love
it.
The
plot hole was so.
Yes, hey, look, but it has Angelina Jolie.
Later. I forget about
Angelina
it.
Angelina Jolie as a sky captain.
Oh, look.
Come on. Zap. Ha! Very attractive people doing very adventurous things.
Very gorgeous. And it, I was hoping for more. Because if anything, that was exceedingly...
What happened?
There's a cartoon that I cannot come up with. Tailspin. It was like the most tailspinning movie I've ever seen.
What?
You've never seen Tailspin?
I have.
It's blue. It's the animal movie.
It's blue.
Like,
yeah.
Blue and with Khan and Ka and all those characters, but done in. No wonder I love Art Deco. It's Art Deco. It's the 1920s and 30s. Baloo is a cargo plane pilot, and apparently everywhere has better to fly planes than ever ship a boat in your entire life. And there are pirates. Who is played by what's his name? Frank or Cumming? Jim, is it Jim? Who does the voice?
Baloo is like quantum leaping through all of those different cartoons. I mean, he shows up just everywhere.
And maybe one day he'll get back to his wonderful point with his kid.
He's the nomad of the time streams.
Yeah, I watched Tailspin. I was probably too old for it, but I watched it.
I probably was too, but
I thought it was a lot like
It was my time period.
Indiana Jones.
Yes, it was very Indiana Jones. And my favorite villain of all time is Don Carnage, the fox pirate captain, who has this, it is I, Don Carnage. And it was done by Jim Cummings. So it was funny. And then, of course, and like the best thing ever, the same character plays the pirate king in the Clone Wars series that like captures Anakin and Obi-Wan, except he's just, you know, he's the same character. He's just he's just as expressory and everything about it. Like, kidnapping one Jedi, that's all right. Kidnapping two, that's just good business. Yeah. So I really feel the same for that character, and I really modeled a lot of Jack after that, just because it comes down to just contracts and obligations. And yes, I sold you yesterday, but now you're saving me because you need me. We're friends now. That was yesterday.
Well, if we're talking about cartoons, what about Batman Beyond? Definitely the lines in that cartoon, and that was definitely had the Deco atmosphere to it, and the sharpness.
Which one was it? The
cartoon, the Batman Beyond cartoon. It came out right after the Tim Burton movie. It was in the mid 90s. Yeah, because that's when I'm sick and I can't go to sleep. I put that on and I just fall asleep watching Batman Beyond.
What's the Batman that was on when I was a child?
Probably the cartoon or movie?
Yeah, it was Batman the cartoon.
Batman Beyond is the cartoon.
Nope.
Okay,
it was come on, Batman the Animated Series, which I guess counts for part of the Batman and Beyond. It's just mine was
Batman the Animated Series. Sorry,
Art Deco one, the complete animated series. Yeah, okay, so it counts.
Yes, sorry. Yeah.
No, you're good. You're good. I didn't.
Yeah, you're right, Kristen. I think Beyond was the 2000s. It was Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah,
was the one that I watched.
Cyberpunk.
Yeah. The one from the 90s was the one I would come home from school and watch when I was like 16 and 17 years old.
The one where everyone was carrying, you know, Thompson machine guns and just the flashy lights and the colors and the gray tones and black and very
It was beautiful. Very sharp and the very lines sharp. Were very
And then right afterwards was Gargoyles, which was yet another very kind of. Which has half the cast of Star Trek Next Generation playing all the voice actors.
It was on Gargoyles. Yep.
The best lines ever was
awesome.
An evil Iron Man Riker saying along the lines of essentially every man has his price and I'm willing to pay it. Like, oh,
yes, that was an excellent one.
Let's see. Atlantis.
Oh, yeah. Also, Disney The Man Atlanta. In the High Castle. If we're talking about diesel punk, The Man in the High Castle, the book by Philip K. Dick and the amazing show that was on Amazon. Oh, my God. It was so good.
Wolfenstein, so the game.
I've never played those.
So the original was obviously you're a prisoner trying to get out of a World War II concentration camp.
Okay.
Beyond that, it turned into essentially like Fallout if the Nazis owned everything. So it was very rocket punk from a Nazi standpoint. Okay. But it has that very like 1960s feel to it. Like, but it's so bizarrely weird to feel having like it's like postmodernism vehicles from Germany if they took over like all of America. So there's a lot of American hints and feel to it, but then there's like the German propaganda in German on the TV, and it's obviously an American football game going on, and there's just the Nazi regalia everywhere. It is the creepiest TV show or game to play because it's just they hit you with that all the time. Very that the Man in High Castle eeriness is there.
Yeah, that was the show was so good.
I think I watched like the first episode and I was like,
The Man in the High Castle.
This freaks me the hell out. I can't watch
Yes.
Yeah. And it was, I need to go back and finish it.
It's one of those shows that's excellent. It was beautiful. It was well done. And I will probably never watch it again because it is just really hardcore and really rough.
There are certain people you wish you could just sit down the world and be like, all right, we're going to watch these educational videos and we're never going to talk about this again. But you just need to know this is how the world would be if.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was so good. That was just. It was spooky, and I mean, you know, but again, you know, alternate histories is a big part of a lot of these, you know, the diesel punk, the steampunk, whatever, alternate histories, I think are an important part of, you know, which is what I'm doing my dissertation about, but seeing how things could, and some people don't like alternate histories because they think it focuses too much on one thing to the exclusion of everything else, but I don't know. I still think they're important. And especially with everything. The man. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like with The Man in the High Castle, I mean, it's not that far fetched that things could have taken, you know, a different turn just depending on the choices that were made. And I think that's why I can't watch it again because it's
still
just.
Can. Yeah. Still yeah. can.
Yes. Well you
in
know.
In the current world of, do you think diesel punk's too far out or it doesn't fit in the genre of our stuff? I actually think it can fit very well. And the fact that depending on if you're building a world that has all different types of styles of punk, this is like the dwarven culture. Yes, you're going to have these massive airships that are just belching smoke to keep themselves up in the air. But you're going to have a lot of these people who are just running around in airships because they're easy to build. And, you know, apparently helium's everywhere or something like that or whatever your unobtainium flotation device is. It's consistent to be easy to get a hold of. And wood is just lighter and faster. So you're still going to have a lot of, there's still viability in a certain time period before you get into like rocket engines to where it doesn't care if it's aerodynamic. With enough force, we can make it work.
The man in the moon. Get it right.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that there's place for everything. And I think one of the TV shows that I remember seeing a long time ago as an anime, and I know Bax knows of it, but The Last Exile does a great job of kind of blending multiple different avenues. Cause it's like if Napoleonic Wars never ended, even with airships, they would just line up the airships next to each other and just pass each other like this with guys on the deck firing air guns at each other with bullets and seeing how many people they knocked out. And then whoever they knocked out the most of would concede and they would win that area. And so
it's, the old-fashioned gentlemanly warfare, but
very gentlemanly warfare.
Where they still line up to shoot each other,
even on airships, just on these big open area hangar-like areas. Well, the thing was is that TV show, the technology and the ideas are changing, and these little things called van ships are coming, which are small airplanes, and they're changing warfare now to where you can bomb these things versus doing it the gentlemanly way, and so it's becoming things are changing, and it's a very point of that kind of World War I to World War II contention. And I thought it was a very interesting way of doing it. Obviously, in this case, they also have another group of individuals that are kind of playing a referee and they have a lot more power, and they're able to basically balance the two sides to make sure either one of them gets too powerful by essentially controlling the devices that allow the airships to float. They basically rent them out and say, okay, you can build a ship around this. And if it gets blown up, the thing just pops out and we get to resell it to you later. So it's a weird dynamic for that. That's the kind of the catch to that show. Other than that, watching the mental and personal change of a lot of the characters during this time of, why are we doing it this way? This is dumb. Now, this is just gentlemanly warfare is not gentlemanly. Everyone's just dying. The people who are making these wars aren't fighting them.
Well, the weapons get better.
Same as it ever was.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all the same.
So in steampunk, as we have discussed it previously, there's the aesthetic, but then there's also the anti-establishment or punk, an important piece of what makes a media or storyline steampunk. It's something anti-establishment or rebelling against something. Do you think that carries over to the diesel punk stories that we've been talking about?
Yeah.
And is it a consistent, would you be able to draw generalizations as to where the punk lies in diesel punk, or
is it all over the place? I think to a big degree, it doesn't really matter if your world and your story is well enough written. It doesn't matter the analogy. It's like if you took the story of Dune and you stuck it in 1700s era on Earth, it's the same games, the same gambits going on. It's just you have to change. Well, instead of being spice, it's now opium and or whatever. And you know, instead of having spaceships, it's just, you know, modern. It's the modern day equivalent of your you know, ship of the line. Or you go further and you're in like Serenity. You got a big war that went on. The Browncoats lost, and yeah, you're following a dude, and you know, in his war, in this new world that's changed from his perspective. And so it's kind of like if you write a good enough story, the technology can change in the background or wherever you want it to be.
It can be anti-authoritarian. It's what you wrap your anti-authoritarianism in. Yeah. What, you know, the aesthetic that you, because you, Star Wars, it's the same story. I mean, you're fighting, you know, same story, Star Wars, Firefly. Actually, yes, Rita, the one that was mentioned in the wiki was Mad Max Fury Road, which I think is a little too on the head because it wasn't gas, the fuel was the whole thing, but you.
Hey, there was that one tanker of milk. If you weren't
wherever you're always going to have stories of the little guy fighting against the corporate overlord or the governmental overlord or whatever it is, and so you wrap it in whatever aesthetic you want to put around it, and you can find ways to work that into it. Again, like Mad Max with the gas, or you know, the helium, because since helium is actually a finite resource. You know, this could be something that you can wrap into steampunk or whatever it is, and it will work for any, you know, it's the same basic story of, you know, heroes and villains.
Yep.
It's just how you want to make it look and what kind of weapons you want to give them and what kind of, you know, vehicles you want to give them. So it's going to work, and I think it works in any story. So, or any story can fit the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Too many margaritas.
And if it's not helium, you can always use hydrogen.
Hydrogen is
not a finite resource. Anyone can make it, really. In their
but it's also deadly.
But it's secretly explosive, which makes a really
murder. Murder the shit out if you're not careful with it. So, you know.
I mean, meth is explosive, but we make it.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure if you wanted to have an interesting punk around Florida, you could do that. Florida punk. Airships run on meth.
No.
Oh dear.
So yeah, I mean, we always have heroes and villains stories, so you know,
Rita
whatever asked, looks cool as and what people are going to take.
Does Mad Max count as diesel punk?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a post-industrial,
post-apocalyptic. Post-industrial. Everybody, you know, everybody's fighting for water and for fuel, and you know.
I expect my diesel punk to have more Art Deco. And fashion of the 19-teens, or
I guess we can call it gas punk then, because they're really just trying to steal gas, not petrol.
Witness me.
I don't know if it's a strong argument, but I don't like the idea of Mad Max being.
Well, what do you see Mad Max as? Just post-apocalyptic nightmare.
Yeah.
It's wasteland
post-apocalyptic steampunk. I mean,
there is, but post-apocalyptic steampunk still has that Victorian aesthetic in fashion choices. And there's just, you know, a little tilt of the hat to a higher fashion.
So a gentlemanly bit that makes it punk then, right? Is that the thing? The romance addition.
Yeah. It's not just miserable people in the desert.
There's got to be some hope somewhere is what you're saying.
I need
there to be a new hope.
Fabulous. I need them to nice. Look fabulous.
Oh, you okay.
You need just... Maybe just one rogue. Maybe a group of them to blow up something large.
Have you ever seen The Shadow?
Was that the Alec Baldwin?
Yes. My favorite.
Yes, I love The Shadow. I remember seeing it. It's been a long time, but yeah. Well, what about Dick Tracy? Do we all remember that one?
I'm talking about. Oh yeah, Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy. Yeah, Madonna.
That slayed.
The Shadow. I remember. I haven't seen that in a long time though. But yeah, that was a really. No, yeah, some of these Madonna, I haven't heard of.
Madonna singing about hanky panky. My brain shut off for the rest of the night. Done.
Oh, The Rocketeer's on here.
Oh. That movie is close to my heart. I watched that probably every week as a child.
Yeah.
Another reason I love Art Deco. There's just a lot of Art Deco in my life, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you have a thing. You like it. It's okay. Wow, we managed to mostly stay on track. Look at that.
What the hell?
I know, right?
I did my best, okay?
Darn it, we enjoyed talking about this too much.
Well, do we want to get votes on which punk we should talk about next time? People can leave comments.
Absolutely.
Because there's a shit ton of them out there.
Maybe we should choose three that we want to talk about.
Myth punk, solar punk. I mean, there's hope punk, which I know a friend, I have a friend who wrote a paper about that. Pink flamingo. Yes, Florida punk with the pink flamingo airships. Rita, write that book. Yeah, horror punk, splatter punk.
I don't know anything about a lot of these.
Neither do I, which is what's going to make it so much fun.
Yeah.
Biopunk, clock pump, atom punk, Celtic punk, crust punk.
What the hell's crust?
Yeah, crust Celtic? Punk is. Yeah, I've heard of crust punk before. I actually dated a guy.
Oh, dirty! You're making things yourself.
Basketball punk
trash.
I mean, there's a lot. Where's the?
And there's punk. Yeah. There's ska punk. By the way.
Yes. Oh, did you see in Deco Punk the music that they were listing that was like the rockabilly and like squirrel nut zippers and. I know. I didn't really understand how that worked with diesel punk, but I guess, yeah. But you know,
I think it's easy to get into the weeds if everybody wants to make their own brand of punk.
I mean, but we'll give it a shot. I said, it's everywhere. Ray punk,
swing for diesel punk for music.
Oh my God, there's Formica punk.
So I'm being told over here that electro swing is really good with diesel punk.
I believe that it's more appropriate to the timeline than typical, you know.
Okay,
but y'all need like to look the guy with the flaming guitar flamethrower from, you know, Mad Max.
Y'all need to look up cassette futurism and Formica punk. That is our age group. Reimagines the late 70s and early 80s aesthetics as popularized by the IBM personal computer.
Oh, God.
I love it. So yeah. If everybody wants to leave something in the comments about punks that you're interested in and you don't want to read about it yourself, let us know.
Yeah, we will do the research for you.
Happily butcher it for you.
What's your favorite goofy punk? I like Rococo punk.
You've brought that up before, yeah.
I've just been surprised that there was anything to really work from, that this is actually a thing.
Yeah, there's also elf punk. Okay, so that whole October Day series by Sean and McGuire that has 17 books and that I love so much, apparently that's elf punk.
I'm very big into cottagecore and goblincore, by the way.
Cottagecore, like, yes, I do like cottagecore.
Straight up. I love goblincore.
Yes, Rita, silk punk, you are right. Silk punk is what Ken Liu uses for his The Dynasty series. He calls it silk punk, not steampunk.
Now,
it's based on the Silk Road. So yeah, he felt silk punk worked better than steampunk. So the Dynasty, the Grace of Kings, Ken Liu. Yeah, that's what he uses. I think he coined that phrase. Yeah. So, they're everywhere. And they all kind of flow in.
Russian punk, the czar punk feel of what was the TV show? The one with the big cloud black wall that split the nation in half on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about it. We read the book.
Oh, with Shadow and Bone?
Shadow and Bone. Yeah. It's like Zarpunk to me. It feels very much that kind of like
Silk Road or the Silk Punk you're talking about?
Maybe. I feel like it's a kind of its own thing because it's more of the, it's Eastern European, but obviously not straight up. I don't know. I guess it fits the Silk Road area. I think Silk Road goes more towards the Turkey side, though.
To a certain extent, it starts to feel like we're getting really granular with the, free with the punk on the end of everything. Ooh,
I guess we got to rein our punk in.
The punks are out of control.
Punk is out of control.
Well, when you can't tell the difference, when you have to have, you know, a big nerd explain the difference between Ray Punk and Adam Punk. Like, do we need both of those? You
just one didn't have transistors.
And all of this started because of Cyberpunk. That's where it all started. We had Cyberpunk, and then Jeter made the joke about steampunk, and then it just all went off the rails. And
here we go.
Everything is punk now.
Suddenly,
yes,
trains are popular again.
And women wearing corsets on the outside of their clothes.
Yet again, no wonder I'm into what the heck echo. We had Thomas the Train Engine.
Thomas the Train Engine is so diesel punk.
No. You're not a diesel, sir. You know, watch, what was that movie? It was with It's the one where they made the joke about Thomas the Train Engine and a whole bunch of killers were on a train. Is it Bullet Train? No.
You'll remember in 3 hours.
I watched Bullet Train. That was
Man, with the guy with the good hair, Brad Pitt was the main character. It was Bullet Train. It came out during the pandemic. And it was
Johnny, not throw mama from the train. Good movie, though.
You know what just occurred to me? Back to the Future 3.
That one is always debated. The Back to the Future, yeah. There's big debate about the Back to the Future.
It becomes steampunk.
it is steampunk, and it's also
Snowpiercer,
retro-futurist. 2015 would have been a lot cooler if it was.
If y'all haven't seen Snowpiercer, the movie or the series, watch them. Definitely post-apocalyptic future, but I don't know. I think Snowpiercer might fit diesel punk, but I'm not really sure.
I have not seen it yet. I know of the concept, though.
The movie with Chris Evans was really good, but then it was also released as a TV series on TNT. It went for 3 seasons. There's actually a fourth season.
It got renewed this week.
What, Snowpiercer?
Yeah.
The fourth season's been hanging out there forever, waiting for it.
It got bought by AMC. They're going to finish it.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah,
because
congratulations.
Really good. Yeah. Excellent. All right. Well,
yeah, we're up on 9 o'clock already.
Oh,
so let me tell you about who's keeping our lights on for us. Texas Steampunk Connection is supported in part by J.R. Seeger's A School for the Great Game. Edwardian teen Elizabeth Bancroft presents being sent to a finishing school in India, which is in fact the British India School for Spies, teaching the family business of espionage, martial arts, and Tibetan mystic arts. Is it silk punk? I don't know.
It might be.
The School for the Great Game is the first in the Steampunk Raj series available on Amazon. Also, we're supported by Fair Treasures. Fair Treasures is a selection of Texas-made female-presenting costumes and accessories for steampunk and renaissance wear and one-of-a-kind imported jewelry. You can shop Fair Treasures at fairtreasures.com, fair spelled with an E, or on Etsy. And I keep bringing Fair Treasures up on this cottagecore community with gals who are looking for pieces. I'm like, go talk to my friend Kitty. It's like, oh, but I have to have a custom piece. I'm like, she makes all of it.
She does that. That's her job.
Just go.
You can look and not buy.
She's outfitting me for Galveston. So.
Exactly. So Kitty, when you fly up for fitting.
We also want to thank our patrons who are on Patreon. We'd love for you to join us on Patreon, buy us a coffee. I'm occasionally putting up little extra bonuses from the show or things that you might want to reference later on Patreon. Just trying to be helpful. But I want to
have more of on Patreon after certain conditions.
I do want to thank Jenny and Ryan Shaver, who've been long-time patrons of ours. Also, our certified aeronaut, Natalie McTavish, and a generous grant from the crew of the airship, Aberfeldy, Rita and Lawrence Allen. Our opening music was Horses to Water by Topher Moore and Alex Elena. And our graphic designs are by Megan Higgins. It's important that I mention the opening sequence because YouTube is going to cut it, or Facebook is going to cut that out, and I'm going to have to fight with them because of copyright claims. I'm not bitter. Okay. And that's it for our patrons. Thank you all very much. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for showing up and talking about Diesel Punk. Viewers, thanks for tuning in with us. Is there anything else we want to add before we let go? Anna Schneider, thank you for tuning in and making comments with us, along with Johnny Steverson, Rita and Lawrence Allen. Everybody, really appreciate it. We have one more episode in 2 weeks before the big weekend at the Galveston Steampunk Festival. Don't wait until 2 weeks from now to buy your tickets because the experiences are selling out. So go over there and just Google Galveston Steampunk Festival and get ready. We're very excited. Very excited. Anything else? I'm sorry. Let you talk. Anything? Nope.
I ain't got nothing.
Mind your gauges?
Mind your gauges.
Mind your gauges.
So, once again, thank you for listening. You can find us again on Facebook at Texas Steampunk Connection for any comments, questions, suggestions. If you know of something happening steampunk that's happening soon, we can put it on our calendar, on our Patreon, as well as the list of over 100 comics and graphic novels, steampunk and Weird West related.
You can also email us at texasteampunkconnection@gmail.com. And we're a streaming podcast, texasteampunkconnection.podbean.com.
And if you lose it on Facebook and you want to watch a rerun of this show at any point in time on YouTube, you can go find them on Steam Chest.
And although we've made many, many jokes about Twitter, you can look for us at TX Steam Connect 1 on Twitter.
I never use it. I never look at it. I don't know. I don't understand Twitter. Yeah. So, yeah. Once again, thank you very much. And until next time, mind your gauges.